Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill.
The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
And we'll continue with some of our conversation with North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. We went to the governor's mansion yesterday. It's a bit of a tradition between 99.9 The Fan and Governor Roy Cooper. Adam Gold and I would go there before the pandemic, and then that tradition continued the year after for the 2021 NCAA tournament. But that, what I inadvertently did not realize when Adam and I went, it was like a cordial experience. In 2021, it created this bracket feud between you and the governor because he got the bracket right.
He kicked my butt.
He really did.
Yeah.
He really did. And he actually brought out the certificate.
Yeah.
That you gave him last year.
Well, he earned it.
He did. He certainly earned it. So we asked him some questions about the sports wagering bill and the NCAA congressional involvement potentially for name, image, and likeness. But right now it's time to answer some Hey Joe questions.
Joe cracked the door.
Hey Joe, brought to you by Oak City Sports Cards, oakcitycards.com. First one from Jeff. Hey Joe, did you expect the glow of sending Kay into retirement to last longer? I see some fans lean into it, but it seems like a distant memory now.
I mean, it depends on who you ask. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, if you will. I think that, I'll put it like this. I still feel strongly that how things went last year and the Duke Carolina Final Four Mageddon will always give UNC fans a trump card. All right. However, I do think that the way this season went for John Shire in year one has emboldened Duke fans to start pushing back and be like, whoa, hey, guys, remember the last time you were supposed to leave us in the dust? Well, think about that. So I do like how things have gotten spicy again, because of a year ago, it didn't look like it could get spicy so quickly.
Yeah, there's always a move, and then there's a counter move,
mm-hmm.
right? Last year, Hubert Davis' first year, they end up in the Final Four. They win the two games that were, you know, what we thought would be conversation enders, or at least, as this person points out, an afterglow. But the way the Carolina season has gone, I think that's kind of sullied some of that. But yeah, there are certainly Carolina fans who are still enjoying the way that last year ended. But last year ended, this year began.
Mm-hmm.
And if Duke's won the ACC title, that's impressive, because you got to remember now, I know this is hard for Carolina and Duke fans, both of you, all of you out there. Your success is not guaranteed.
No.
Okay?
No.
So getting to the Final Four last year by Hubert Davis was really, really good. John Shire in year one winning the ACC championship was really, really good. Those things aren't guaranteed. You should probably enjoy both of those things, because there's another school in the Triangle which hasn't had either one of those things in almost 40 years. So think of it that way.
Next up.
I got a proposition for you.
From Story, hey, Joe, how many games does each ACC team need to win, you know, to validate their inclusion in the field?
All right, so we got five teams in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. The ACC, I say we. The ACC has five teams.
Oh, it's we.
Yeah, you're right. It is we.
And we already got one win, baby. Let's go.
Pitt. Hey, look, Pitt. Pitt almost didn't. All right, it was pretty dramatic. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I fell asleep last night trying to watch that game, but I woke up just in time to see the ending. It's an uncanny ability of mine. I would say that if you get two of the five teams to the Sweet 16, and it has to be the right team. So if Duke gets the Sweet 16, and let's say Miami gets the Sweet 16, then I think maybe people are like, well, you know, maybe the ACC wasn't so
bad. I hate Miami's draw.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't like any of the other teams that made the tournament. I think Duke will get to, I do think Duke's going to get to the Final Four. I do. Will that validate anything or change anything? No.
Mm-hmm.
Will it change any of the conversations that we have about other conferences either? No.
Okay.
You remember last year when the Mountain West got four teams in and they all got just smoked out of the tournament just run out of the building.
Right.
Well, look who's back in the tournament for some more punishment. The Mountain West. They were rewarded.
Yeah.
So narrative doesn't change. It's nice that the ACC had three teams in the Elite Eight last year, but it didn't get them anything this year. So what do you want to happen in this tournament that you think will help them next year? Nothing.
Or you ready for me to go Galaxy brain on this one?
Okay.
Maybe conference rankings don't matter. Here is ultimately my takeaway for the ACC, because this was making the rounds last week during the ACC and SEC tournaments. Somebody had forwarded me a clip of the SEC network pumping up Vanderbilt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they basically were doing the thing where they took the worst aspects of everybody else's resume as though that's the thing they're known for, and then pumping up Vanderbilt. And it was hacky. It was very, very hacky.
The conference did this?
The SEC network commentators did this.
Same thing, yeah.
So, yes, the conference did this. This would never fly on the ACC network. Remember, Jeff Capel was complaining on a coach's teleconference about the way the conference was being discussed on its own network. And I said then, and I'll say it now, ACC audiences, ACC fans reject that kind of propaganda. We're talking about a fan base in the conference that will count up the amount of positive tweets from the ACC network's account to prove some sort of point of bias. Well, you see, they tweeted about Drake May 19 times, and they only mentioned NC State 12 times. So that clearly shows you that the ACC network is in the bag for the Tar Heels. That is
clearly
that is what makes up the ACC. And I applaud it, by the way. So if the ACC network were to go all in on propaganda the way the SEC does for its own teams, it would be rejected by the audience. Straight up rejected by the audience. Next up.
How you doing?
From Alonzo. Hey, Joe, why does the local media completely ignore the Charlotte Hornets? I realize that they suck and they're not in the Triangle area, but neither are the Panthers.
Why are we asking this question?
But neither are the Panthers, and they're discussed by the local sports media all the time.
Because it's the NFL.
Yeah, regardless how good or bad they perform.
Because it's the NFL.
Well, you can actually watch the Panthers in Raleigh.
Well, that's a very good point, Dennis. Hmm. It's a very, very good point, Dennis. All right, so let's answer that last part. Why the Panthers? Well, it's the NFL. The NFL is the dominant beast in all of sports. So, yes, we're going to talk about the NFL team that's in the state of North Carolina. But this would be like me going to Charlotte and going, well, why don't you guys talk about the Carolina Hurricanes? And they're good. I mean, this is a team that keeps making the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I listen to Charlotte Sports Talk Radio. Do you know how much time they spend talking about the Carolina Hurricanes on T-Bone's show, Mac and T-Bone's show, the Mac Attack? Zero.
If the NBA does Michael Jordan a solid, because God knows Michael Jordan needs a break
world. He does.
And they get Victor Wembanyama. Do you think we would regularly talk about the Hornets?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, because they had...
If he truly is LeBron James. If he truly is another LeBron James. You don't think that changes the calculus?
Okay, well,
because I'm with you just, in the NBA, but
you
like,
just invoked LeBron James. I'll say this. I think it would be very similar to how we were with LaMelo Ball when he was healthy and he first started, and he was like a highlight machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what ends up happening is that in this area, much like the NBA, you consume it in highlight form, and it wouldn't be until the playoffs when there's nothing else going on that people would go, "Oh, okay, let me check out the Hornets." I think that's what would happen.
He has a chance to be a true difference maker. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, Oak City Sports Cards, I'm waiting for those packs to come. I'm going to go buy a few of those to try to get the French Mamba rookie card, because they're already talking about some of his autograph cards, Joe.
Yeah.
Will be $1 million.
Really?
His autographed, his true initial autographed cards, rookie cards, are going to start in the $1 million range.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That is bonkers.
That's nuts.
Whoa.
All right, next up.
From Sparty Bill. Hey, Joe, is it acceptable to wear another team's apparel at the NCAA tournament games? I.e., can I wear my Michigan State gear in Greensboro on Friday, or should I try to support whomever is playing?
Oh, this is like the Jonathan Jones, are you allowed to wear a Houston Texans jersey to a Panthers-Bengals game? I say wear your team. I say rep your team.
Rep your team.
Because the NCAA tournament is a true ticket crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're a Sparty fan and you were hoping they were going to be in Greensboro and you bought those tickets,
mm-hmm.
put it on, man.
Hey, I went to the ACC championship game on Saturday in Greensboro. Who were the two teams playing?
Virginia and Duke.
I saw State gear. I saw Carolina gear. I saw Virginia Tech gear. Rep your team, man.
Yep.
Saw a guy in Florida State stuff.
There you go.
That's rep. Impressive.
It's a celebration of college basketball, so rep your city. Rep your school. We got any more? That it?
That's it.
That is it. That's Hey Joe. Thanks to Oak City Sports Cards for sponsoring Hey Joe. If you got any Hey Joe questions, use that hashtag, Hey Joe. We'll fish it out, and we'll answer the questions like we always do at this time. We'll give you an update and go back to the governor's mansion. The governor had thoughts on the mobile sports wagering bill. How confident is he that it's actually going to go through this time? Next.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuta, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group.
We'll get you 2 minutes. Carolina Hurricanes with the win last night, but still reeling in the aftermath of Andrei Svechnikov's injury news. He officially went on injured reserve today. He is done for the season because of a knee injury. And we'll also go back to the governor's mansion. He had some thoughts on the sports wagering bill and name, image, and likeness. But before we get to that, the Masters just dropped their Masters dinner. Scotty Scheffler is the winner, right?
Last year. Joe week. Talks golf.
So he gets to pick his meal.
That is how it works. Right,
this
yes.
is the meal. This is real. Mm-hmm. This is a real thing from the Masters Twitter account. Cheeseburger sliders, firecracker shrimp, tortilla soup, Texas ribeye steak or blackened redfish, and a warm chocolate chip skillet cookie. Are we going to Chili's?
Yo, that's skillet cookie.
No, I'm being. Did he just go for like the two for whatever meal at Chili's? Because I'm reading this and it's a Chili's menu. Is he turning the Masters into Chili's?
You missed the part of the sliders. They're Scotty style.
What is Scotty style?
No idea. You know, Scotty Scheffler is my favorite golfer, right?
I did not know he was your favorite golfer.
Yes.
He might be my favorite golfer now, too, because he's out here looking like he's making a meal out of Houston's.
Yeah. He's from Texas. Makes sense.
I guess it makes sense.
Technically born in New Jersey, but...
Shout out to the Texas Roadhouse. Where are we going to have a bucket of peanuts that you can crack and leave on the floor while we're at it?
Yeah. You would like him, too, because he made a joke on Twitter previously posting the invitation telling the guys from Live to meet him on the ninth hole.
Oh, I see. I like that. That's good. That is good. Carolina Hurricanes get the win last night against the Jets. Here's Adam Gold. 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Let's do that hockey.
All right, fellas, I got 2 minutes for C. We can score a goal. In fact, we can score 5 of them. Who needs Andrei Svechnikov? Here's the thing. This team, and I keep arguing with Hurricanes fans on Twitter. I know, Ovius. Spoiler alert. Gold arguing with Kane's Twitter. I get it. It's what I live for. It's my lifeblood. You know that. So everybody thinks, oh, well, they have to change their game. They have to figure it out. Nah, man. This is the same team going to play the same way, just without a pretty important piece in Andrei Svechnikov. He's done for the year with the torn ACL, but you know who isn't done for the year? Sebastian Aho. He's still there. Teuvo Teravainen is still there. Seth Jarvis is still there. Martin Natchez is still there. Yes, Barry Kotkaniemi.
Behind the net, Kotkaniemi. Rap chance and a score! Smack on that rap, yes, Barry. Carolina takes a two-goal lead. It's 3-1.
Look, the
truth is the Hurricanes get scoring from so many different spots. Sometimes when those other spots go away, the Hurricanes look like they can't score. But they can score well enough. They're top 12 in the NHL in goals. That's okay. But you know what this team is about anyway? It's goal prevention. And as long as they continue to play the way they play, it's not really about who's going to score the goals. It's about who's going to stop the goals. And I'm not even talking about the goalie. I'm talking about team defense. Jesper Foss made a great play to prevent a goal last night. Jordan Martinook with a back check prevented a goal last night. It's these types of things, Carolina's team defense, which is going to determine how far they go. And I'll give you this free of charge right now. Other people are going to have to call a 900 number for this. It's the other team's power plays that will determine Carolina's fate in the playoffs. 4 years running, that's what's determined how far Carolina went. The other team's power plays. So, they scored 5 goals. Yay. They shouldn't be giving up 3, though. I was a little disturbed at that.
Yeah, that would be my concern, too. There were some of those goals by Freddie Anderson that if this is the guy that's locked in for the playoffs, I'd be a little... Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't want to argue with Adam when he's not here, but, you know, what can counter the other team's power play?
What's that?
Scoring your own power play
that
goals
be,
to
that
neutralize.
That would be nice, too.
And not being outscored by 8 bazillion goals special teams.
That would be nice, too. But I get where Gold is going because I was making these points yesterday. We just go back to our ancient Sendek wisdom. You can beat teams by scoring more than them, or you can prevent them from scoring more than you. And that is going to be the Carolina Hurricanes' MO going forward. It's been that, but it's truly going to have to rely on that. Can they win multiple series with that? Only one way to find out. Speaking of the Carolina Hurricanes, the biggest fan is North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. And we actually caught up with Roy Cooper yesterday when we did the brackets, and we asked him about the current state of the mobile sports wagering bill. He unveiled his budget today, and it does include revenue from mobile sports wagering. So they're confident about this.
A lot of people this time are not taking anything for granted. Mm-hmm. And I think that as a lot of lobbying occurred early, people got positive responses from legislators, and they didn't do the things they needed to do to close. I think nobody this time is taking anything for granted. I'm going to present my budget to the legislature tomorrow and to the public, and it will have in it funding from sports wagering in the budget, because I'm going to assume that it's going to be able to pass this time.
So that's Governor Roy Cooper. We asked him a bunch of different questions, which we'll present to you throughout the show today. That was on the mobile sports wagering bill. And that budget was revealed today, and it included that revenue. And Brian Murphy over at WREL keeps highlighting the amount of people who are on board this time, Joe.
Yeah, it was definitely promising. And that's not a person who's guessing, by the way.
No.
The head of our state government is not one that's guessing.
Yeah,
me and you being like, man, I really could use that ad revenue. I could really use those FanDuel or DraftKings bucks. No. You don't put it in the budget.
No.
If it's a guess.
You definitely don't. Yeah, you definitely
That's not
don't.
How the world works.
No.
Definitely. Just so you know.
So Brian Murphy wrote about this a little bit more. You can check that out on WREL.com. The question really is, what are we going to do on January 1, 2024?
I'm going to play some golf futures. I would tell you that right now. There's a reason Scottie Scheffler is my favorite golfer.
We don't technically work that day, but do you think they'll invite us to the ribbon cutting ceremony?
Probably not, but that's fine.
Should we do the show in tuxes the next day?
I'm okay without a tux, yeah.
Hey, look, if we can get management to write us some tux for the shows, I'd do it.
I'm trying to remember the last time wore a tux.
Are you a vest or cummerbund guy?
My wedding is the last time I wore a tux? Maybe.
Are you a vest or cummerbund guy?
Vest.
I'm a vest guy,
full
too.
Vest.
I'm just wondering if
I
go...
I had a cummerbund from my high school prom.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's the last time I wore a cummerbund.
Last time I wore a cummerbund was at a friend's wedding. But the real question is, if we do tuxes, do I go full prom 1996?
Yes.
No.
With
You go full prom 1977.
No, I go full... No, my prom, 1996, 1997, junior and senior proms, where I did the tab collar with the button, the big, bold button.
Yeah.
No, instead of a tie.
No. I need you to do.
I
want the powder blues.
You want Dumb and Dumber.
Yes. Okay. No, I want something a little classier.
Oh, so
ruffles.
You want me to go like my dad's prom?
Correct.
Yes. He had the ruffles.
I bet your dad had a sweet tuxedo.
No, my dad
for
crushed
his prom.
It. My dad crushed it at prom.
Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.